Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. Shadows abound when there's trauma and emotional repression because shadows keep us safe from what we've buried. This is all the stuff that I share is not stuff that I know in my mind. I'm not convinced of it. I've seen it in my experience. So I just try to articulate what I've seen rather than trying to convince you of what I know. And what I've seen, and in fact, this podcast is dedicated to people who don't understand where shadows come from and think that they can process shadows and get to the root of suffering or really be free. And you can't, because shadows come from the buried emotions. They protect us, they keep us safe, and they continue to get us love and approval. You could say that shadows are a big part of the sense of separation, actually. So to overlook shadow work on a non-dual path would be to overlook the sense of separation. Shadows, they don't just arise to awareness for us to witness. Well, you might be aware of some judgment that you have of someone that has a lot of energy on it, or even just some energy on it, but you wouldn't be able to just witness that repressed emotion that constitutes that energy. That repressed emotion doesn't arise. So you can't witness that. And then the shadow itself is tricky because it looks like, oh, that's not about me. He's just an asshole. So and you can sit and witness that, but you can't take ownership of any of that because it looks like it's about them. But if there's a contraction on a shadow, then it's about you. The contraction is the buried emotions that produce the shadow. So you can trust your body 110% on whether something is actually a shadow or just a judgment. And judgment and discernment are needed in life. Like, what coat should I wear today? Well, I can't judge. So I can't decide between the heavy coat and the light coat. That's not fair. That's all things are equal. So I'm just going to go outside and see what happens. Or like there's two methods. One is a clear bypass of my buried emotions and the other one isn't. But because I can't judge, I can't decide which one might be better for me. I can't go forward. So judgment and discernment are necessary, especially if it's clearly connected to the body. If you have embodied presence, you're going to want your judgments and discernments because there's your boundaries, there's your power. That's not your suffering, though. See, that's the difference. Discernments that come up that aren't connected to contractions, they don't produce the suffering because you don't believe that they're actually producing separation. Judgments are lighter when you've cleared your body. It's not even a judgment. It's how we know and navigate a relative world, as illusory as it is. We say things like, I don't want that. I don't like that. I love that. That's good for me. That's not good for me. These are all quite natural. And when we awaken to presence, we don't get rid of all that. We actually stop living in the duality of it, stop identifying with one so that we don't have to feel the other. So we stop identifying with anger and bearing it so that we can identify with being compassionate and peaceful and then shadow that out. Anybody who's not compassionate and peaceful or whatever becomes a shadow. So we've got real work to do to end separation. It's not just be here now, because you can't witness the shadows. It's always somebody else's problem. And you can't witness the buried emotions that produce the shadows, because that doesn't even look like your problem. It's buried. Shadows are the most insidious and yet intelligent thing to me about consciousness, because I've lived my whole life in shadows and they protected me. Here were my shadows. And listen up, anger repressors, because this is a very common set of shadows. Angry people. Just angry people. I didn't really make a discernment between clean anger and unclean anger. I remember hearing stories of like Buddhists who apparently could express clean anger, but I never met one. The only thing that I met were Buddhists who never got angry. I'm not saying they're not there, Buddhist monks or teachers who get angry. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, where are they? Where are the angry monks? And I need to see them because I need to understand what modeling an authentic human being is, a conscious human being. But So I was the angry monk, like the rest of the monks who bury anger, you know, the teacher who was creating suffering from anger repression, but was refusing to recognize that as the source. Just sitting there in meditation, unaware of the shadow producer. And then the shadow comes up and it's like, yeah, assholes. I don't like them. Angry people. I don't like them either. I don't like narcissists. I don't like abusers, controllers, manipulators. I don't even like people who talk a lot, frankly. I don't like obnoxious people. But that has nothing to do with me, as I sit here in meditation. That's all just coming and going. That's other people. And so we don't see the separation in that we're creating it. Right there on the meditation mat, or in our spiritual practice. And quite frankly, our spiritual practices and context will help us do that. They will solidify, if not coddle us, into a kind of belief system that we're here just to be peaceful. Like that's somehow authentic. And then if we could just shadow out everything that's not peaceful, all those people out there that are the problem, somehow we're going to be free. And that's exactly how it's not going to happen. And if you look, a lot of teachers and monks, they didn't get fully free. There's disease. There's chronic pain. We're studying it now. So now it's time to really wake up to what we're doing. Is that we not, see, I used to hear this, which is such ridiculous, it's so ridiculous to say this, but I used to say it, that gosh, people ignore shadow work and non-duality, and that's a bypass. No, that's the tip of the iceberg, is what that is. And literally, it's just the tip. So the shadows just come and go to awareness, and we always think it's about somebody else, so we don't process it in awareness. A lot of people don't. And so there started to be this thing in spirituality like, well, we've got to do our shadow work. And if you don't do your shadow work, you're bypassing. And then some people started to do shadow work. Why? To get to the repression? Not necessarily, but instead to get love and approval. And we don't see this, though. We don't see that we're doing everything we can to get to the root. I mean, we will get so close to it by doing shadow work and then refuse to see that we produced it because of buried emotions. So how we get love and approval is like we learn a shadow process. I've actually trained people who resisted our repression work and thought it was a good idea to go out and help people on the shadow work that we taught them. But the shadow work was connected to the repression work. So they took a part of our work and just went out to get love and approval by encouraging people to avoid their buried emotions. And that, my friends, is what's going on all the time, every day. Human beings are on an avoidant path. There are teachers enabling it, you know, who don't get to their buried emotions. And this is one of the keys, is the shadow work. Because this can actually be a way in. If you become skillful with shadows, you clear repression, you get free. If you're not clear with shadows, you either won't process them, or you'll process them in a way that keeps you safe, just keeping it at the mind level, not connecting it to the buried emotions and the contraction. There's a mind-body connection behind all of it, including everything that you see that looks like it's separate. There's mind-body connection, and it's fear. Fear and survival drive us to create these shadows to protect ourselves, not just from death, that's a cop-out, no, from death right now, from being our authentic self now, which is the death of the ego now. That's our fear. Is in living, because that's a death of all the defense mechanisms, including shadows that have created separation for us so that we don't have to be who we really are. We can just blame it on other people and live in a world of separation that we're dreaming up so that we don't have to actually feel and express what's true and end our suffering. Because our system thinks that if we did that, we couldn't survive. But that's just unconsciousness. It's not true. We do so much better as we clear the repression from our bodies. I mean, we really do. We do so much better because we don't have to suffer in that same way. But I'm telling you that there's such great resistance to the core work that it takes, the work that I was pointing to in Frozen Presence episode, that most of what I do is just come out here and talk to you about the various ways that people resist. And this is one of them, because you can really fool people as a helper, for example, by having a very skillful looking shadow process or a process that questions identity skillfully. You can even, if you're watching somebody who looks skillful, you can feel like that you're in the company of an artist. I've trained people who other people said, oh my God, she's like an artist. And under my breath, I'm singing, holy shit, she's doing the bypass. And they don't know it. And I created that. And so I had to go talk to her. It's not a person, it's a bunch of people. It's people who are unconscious, just like I was. Many of them have buried rage. Not all of them, but many of them do. The people that are trying to help you with this shadow process and these identities and the awakening, buried stuff. And they're just trying to get you to turn away from the buried stuff. And nobody knows it's happening. It's so unconscious. But our shadows are our way in. See, I feel like the shadow work is the way that KI might find its way more deeply into non-duality. Because there's already a public awareness about shadow, the need for shadow work in spirituality. So we come in perfectly to bring not only the shadow work, but the processes that bring about the embodiment of presence. But as long as that community is not open, one, to shadow work, but two, to the work on the unprocessed, there's always going to feel like a divide there, which is so unnecessary. Because if people would incorporate with their awareness practices the shadow work, they would experience such a depth of freedom and joy. Oh man, that's the sad part, as I watch people arguing in favor of more suffering and not realizing it by processing only shadows in the mind or identity or just being in awareness and really just pretending that they can be with everything. Not having any idea that they have buried emotions producing all that. And then I sit here in my own freedom, realizing how full that feels, and then doing this work with people and watching them try as best as they can to turn it into some watered down version of it to stay safe. But I don't suffer over that. The reason that it's sad is because it's just like an existential thing. It's like the reason I teach now is so different. It's not to get your love and approval. If you were on Earth and you knew something about suffering and you knew that you'd gotten to the root of it, wouldn't you want to say that to people? And if you knew that what they were doing would not get to the root of it, wouldn't you want to say that unless you had repression and therefore shame? You couldn't be yourself. That's what I want to do, is just be myself and tell you everything, like everything, because that's what authentic selves do about this work and this whole realization about my life, except for a few areas that you don't need to know about because they're not your business unless you're sitting on my lap. But for the most part, I'm just going to tell you guys straight up, even if you don't like me, doesn't matter, because nobody loved me enough to tell me straight up that the shadow processing in the mind is an avoidance of the buried emotions in the body. That the processing of so-called core limiting beliefs or identities, like not good enough or I was neglected or abandoned, those, although closer to the core, will keep you safe and will keep you avoiding the actual core, which is frozen fear and buried anger, hurt, sadness. This is what people want, though. You see, our unconscious wants to go to the safer places. So as I say this, there's every reason in the world for you not to hear this, because you have a system that demands that you don't hear it. Some of you, that's just repression. And so if I say shame isn't the core, your mind will go, I don't understand. Because there's no consciousness in the body yet. And shame is not the core. Or if I say, well, core limiting beliefs, those are produced by the buried emotions. If you haven't made those conscious, those buried emotions, your system, those very buried emotions will produce a defense to that. Why? So you can stay safe and keep that false identity in place by not getting to the root of it. Why though? Because you're driven by the need for safety and love, not by the need for freedom. And so when you start your shadow work, just remember, until you get to the buried emotions, you're not doing shadow work for freedom. On some level, you're doing it to stay safe and get love. And the same is true for processing those core limiting beliefs or shame. Because we have tried. We have tried the bypass in every direction. That's how KI got developed, is we understood at a certain point how the system avoids. And this is one of the ways. And we don't want you to believe us, because then that's just another landing. We want you to pick up the skills and see it if you want. But this is big. I mean, it's almost a war of worldviews. You'll see. Dan is so intuitive, my co-developer. You guys are starting to see how great he is. He said some things. He just dropped some bombs along the way in the development of this work, understanding where it was all going. And he has remained true to that, even as he's worked through his own layers. Well, it's like this. We're both musicians, and I've always known Dan to not be a big fan of selling out. What selling out is when you're an artist is that you're doing something for other people. And you're not doing it for yourself. Not doing it in an authentic way. And that's what we've brought to this work, is that we didn't want to sell out. It's not an ego thing, though. It's a matter of ending suffering. But what the nervous system wants to do at every corner is sell out, because that's where the safety is. The system doesn't want freedom. It wants the sell out. It wants to land on something that is just safer than the actual root. And if shadow work, if we can, see, we'll get love and approval out of it. If I can help you end your shadows and look like you're free, even though we didn't get to the root of suffering, you're going to think highly of me. I'm going to get that love and approval. But did I get to the root of that with you? No. You still need my love and approval, or I need yours. We're just clearer at the surface, aka clearer. Because the shadows, even if they get quieter, the suffering won't. The suffering won't go away. Because shadows are just one expression of that same repression or unprocessed fear that also creates disease or chronic pain. And so what I tell people is, if you're rushing to clear the surface in any way, if you're rushing to clear the tip of the iceberg, not knowing that under the water is the true driver, then you could be exposing yourself to more suffering. There's starting to be some science on this. And it's so relevant to shadow work, but it applies to so many other things. So it applies to plant medicine, to a rushing to awakening, to going for sobriety before you deal with a trauma in addiction recovery. And it goes to these kinds of processes that will give us a bypass. They will give us some freedom at the tip, but we don't get to the root. So what happens then? Well, I've been a living example. As I said, I rushed to awakening and I rushed to sobriety. And then I got three diseases, two and an addiction. I exposed myself to an experience where the buried emotions still could not be expressed, but I was processing things at the surface, like shadows, rushing to awareness recognition without processing my stuff, rushing to sobriety. I opened my system up because those emotions couldn't be expressed authentically. They were expressed as disease. And that's what the science is starting to form around, is the understanding of what drives our need to alleviate suffering, and that sometimes our attempts to alleviate it actually leave us exposed to more. It's exactly what I would see and will see and you'll see from people who focus on just the cognitive element of our experience, or just the emotions that you can feel. all the stuff that's safer than the true root. It's not bad news, it's good news, all of this. If we didn't know this, it would still be driving us. It would just be our ignorance then. But now we have knowledge, we have science, we have context in KI, and we have skills. And all of that gets put together, we start seeing it for ourselves. See, the thing that people don't know is the stuff that I share here are the things that people see in their own experience later. But are they sharing that with you? No, they're in that process. They're coming. Dan and Ina and Toshi are just the first few. Serena, these are people who've done really deep work. There's going to be more. We're going to come out and we're going to share more and more about how if you really want to end suffering, you do have to get to the root. And it doesn't matter what modality you use because it's still the same root of suffering wherever you go. That's why we needed science to get us aware of the issue. But because our system seeks safety, we just want to be unaware of the issue. And we're just going to seek different processes and do shadow work because we think that'll get to it, but we don't want to get to it. We don't know that. And this is the dilemma that the future of spirituality will have to face, is that we fundamentally don't want to be free, and that's why we're not being free, because we don't want it. And the sooner we align with that and understand that the unprocessed is driving our spiritual practice, our spiritual path, our relationship with our teacher or therapist, and it could be driving them too, all of them. In some cases, you might be dealing with a number of people who also have repression who are helping you. You can't know it as long as you have repression. What does that mean? You're going to be misled into what Barbara Oakley calls from pathological altruism. Here's what the damage is. When people don't get to the root of suffering, they still need love and approval, and they start helping other people. And what do? They go back to the same processes that they used that didn't get to the buried emotions, because there's an agenda behind it all. Get love and approval. Stay safe. Don't take those shadows to the buried emotions. Don't take those identities there either. Don't see your repression as coming from buried emotions or your anxiety or your addiction. Pretend like it's all just happening here at the tip, that you can just process things, these moles that come up, you can just whack them and be free. If you live enough years on earth or enough decades, you'll see that it doesn't work. And you'll want to take all your processes under the water to finally end that suffering that you're creating for safety. If you're interested in coming like in a crash course of like a really intensive program that's also very loving and so safe, because I love people. Let me tell you this. I don't want to promote. I want to tell you who I am now. I get to promote what I do by giving you me. And I couldn't be me until this work. And I like working with people. I don't like teaching from a distance like this. I share at 20 to 30 minutes because I get tired of it. I just want to talk to people. I want to work with them. And that's a product of me clearing my own unprocessed fear and unmet needs. So that's what I bring to the table, is this new program. It's only for people who have the finances for it and the time and want to devote themselves. The way I've been describing it, it's like this is the closest I've come to the relationship that I had with Dan. The walls were really down with me and Dan, and that relationship was like just catapulted us both into a deep freedom because of that synergy. And a lot of it had to do with just being available to each other with boundaries. And that's what I want to do, and I'm doing with this intensive program, is just being available and accessible in a way that people can trust, but also boundaries. But I still have the mentorship program, which is a lower level of support, and it's fine. It's just that I've had to boundary that because people come in with a lot of needs. And, you know, if you pay a certain price and you ask for attention every day, that is a boundary there. And that's what you're going to learn in every relationship, is to be authentic, you have to have some expression around how you want to do things. And that's what I've learned, is I want to do things this way, and my needs matter too. You know, I'm a human, and so I only want to work with people under certain circumstances. And if they're not in it, I'm not in it. So if you're in it, come talk to me. There's a free link, or a link for a free talk with me to see if it's a good fit. Please take the repression test before you come, because if you can come into that clarity call knowing that, like, hell, 8 of the podcasts I've talked about are about you, because you bury anger, for example, and you want to help people. Maybe you listen to this podcast and you were doing shadow work, and you just realized that you never take your shadow work down into your body. Or maybe you were listening about the core limiting beliefs and you see that you're in avoidance. If I could just reach those people, come talk to me. Because we make a difference one relationship at a time when there's such a massive avoidance in spirituality. It really has to do with humans transforming. It's not philosophies. It's not understandings, ultimately. It's experiential. And once you experience it, you'll know what I mean. Come talk to me. There's also a Jumpstarter group that, if you go to my newsletter, repressiontest.com, I'm doing this monthly, starts December 1st, a month-long Jumpstarter group for people who do not want one-on-one mentorship. They just want to sit in a group and learn the work and get a good jumpstart. Try that out. Thank you.